old song, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I like starting like that, just with a nice song like that. Maybe most of you have never even heard the song. Or maybe you have, I don't know. But hello to my most wonderful partners in the whole world. Okay, I'll sing it again just in case you would like me to sing it again. It's an old song about peace, peace, wonderful peace. See, tornadoes that pull water out of the ocean. Billows of love. Don't you love it? Yeah, exactly. Well, let me say my hellos. You know what I've got in my mind right now? What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm not seeing it for some reason. So you wanna see, maybe I didn't refresh. Just want to make sure I'm on. What a blessedness. Nope, I don't see it. Hmm? Am I on? Oh, can you fix my phone then? Can you check it on your phone? Okay. Anyways, I like to say my hellos, and if my phone is not showing it, then I can't say my hellos. Can you check it out? Am I on or not on? Chad.
Yes, it's here and you're on.
Okay, well let's fix it on my phone so I can begin teaching. Can you fix it on my phone quick?
Yeah.
Okay. You sweet people, just give me a few moments here to make sure this is live and I'm really on. Because I'm not able to see anything. Can I have my phone if I'll check it? If you're on, you just have to wait. If I'm not on, I'm going to have to start all over again. Why don't you check your phone? Check it on your phone. Give me mine. Give me mine. Because it's not showing. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, for goodness sake. Okay, here we are. Okay, it just came on. All right. I started by singing, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I wasn't sure whether I was on or not while I was singing, but I'm on now, so thank the Lord. Okay? There, this, I see you. Wonderful. Because the machine showed it was on, but my phone didn't show it was on. So was I on already or not on? I guess not. Well, I'm on now, so thank the Lord. So I'm going to wait till you all come on, you sweet, dear people. I want to say hello again to my most wonderful, wonderful partners in the whole wide world. And I'm glad I'm seeing your names now, and the numbers are coming on. So I'm going to wait just a few more minutes, and I'll sing you another song. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. You know that old song? But you know, I just finished spending some wonderful times with our precious Lord today. So I was coming down, singing, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. And I'm thinking the whole time you're on live. So something went, you know, wasn't working, I guess. But we are on now. So let me just say my hellos. Hello to Napsugar. Hello to Ewuragio. Hello to Janet. Hello to Anita. Hello to Soren and to Sharon. Hello to Nina. By the way, this is going to be a powerful teaching today, because I'm going to continue teaching on victory, really, over the devil, you know, how to resist him and win every single time. We're going to talk about that today, but I'm going to wait till you all come on. Hello to Amania and Andrea and Napsugar. Hello to Andrew and Joshua. Beautiful. Hello to Gioka and Joyson and Blaine. Bless you, Blaine. Hello to Wakas. I've told you already, you have the most beautiful names, all of you. Hello to Roma and Jusper. Beautiful. So you see it's still on your phone, right? Okay, I love it. So I'm going to start teaching in a few minutes. Precious Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to show us today. Bless your people, Lord, and magnify your sweet, holy name, I pray, for Jesus' sake. And God's dear people said, amen and amen. All right, now, I'm going to kind of rehearse what I've said the last few days, because I'm talking about resisting the enemy. Well, I've been telling you, you know, we cannot resist the enemy. I began with this on Monday. Today is Wednesday. We cannot resist the enemy till we know who is he. You know, what kind of power does he possess? So you remember I told you that we are fighting a very powerful enemy, not to be underestimated. Now, yes, we have the power of God. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, absolutely. But we also must know our enemy. We cannot just get into a war without being prepared for war. He is a strong devil. So, now, let's remind you. At one time he was called Lucifer, light holder. That's what the word means. He was one of the three most powerful archangels in glory. He was, in fact, the most powerful of all, because he held two positions. He held the position of archangel and cherub. No one held two positions. Even to this day, no angel holds two offices. So you have Michael, the archangel, Gabriel, the archangel, and at one time, Lucifer, the archangel. Now, God gave Lucifer charge of planet Earth when he created the Earth in the beginning. Now, the beginning was billions and billions of years ago, not 6,000 years ago. Anyone who believes the Earth is 6,000 years does not know the Bible. So the Earth itself could be billions of years old. So it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, or the dateless past is a more accurate translation. In the dateless past, God created the heavens and the earth. He created three heavens, not just one. The heavens, because the Hebrew word is shamayim, heavens, plural, and the earth. Now, in verse 2 it says of Genesis 1, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, we have to stop here to explain. Here is this beautiful earth suddenly a mess. Because it says in Isaiah 45:18 that when God creates anything, it's perfect. Because he created nothing vain. So, what happened? Well, what happened was the fall of Lucifer. So there's a big gap, no doubt, a big gap between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis, because it says, and the earth was without form and void. Ve'ha'aretz haya tohu vabohu. Now that word haya is what has caused a lot of confusion, because does the word haya mean was, or does the word haya mean became? If you believe it means was, then the earth is 6,000 years old. If you believe it, it means became, then it's billions of years old. That's why I believe that that word means became without form. So, something caused it to become. What caused it to become? Isaiah 14 talks about the fall of Lucifer to the earth. And Jesus said, the Lord Jesus said, how he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Well, that happened pre-Adamic time. All right? Now, God came in Genesis 3 and on, or 2 and on, and begins to restore the planet. That's why it says the Spirit moved upon the face of the flood. So the earth was flooded, the waters. And then God began to divide the waters from the waters. And then it says, and the dry land, what appeared? Meaning it was covered. So now God restores the earth by using the word let. The word let is not a word of creation. It's a word of permission. Let there be light and so forth. Now, as the earth is restored to beauty and perfection again, God plants a garden and names it Eden. Now, if you read Ezekiel 28, it says clearly that Lucifer walked in the Eden of God, in the garden of God, meaning there was an Eden prior to the destruction of the earth. This is what killed the dinosaurs. This is what ruined the planet. You know, scientists are still trying to figure out what happened. Well, that's what happened. The fall of Lucifer and the destruction of the planet recorded in Job chapter 9. Now, I'll teach on this sometime down the road, but right now I just need to give you some info I gave you already, maybe with some additional information I did not give you. So, God now creates Adam and creates a woman that was called Eve, Hava, that's the Hebrew name, by her husband. But her first name was Adam. That's in Genesis 5. It says, and he called them Adam. So God creates Adam and Adam, basically, and says, let them have dominion over the earth and the creatures of the earth and all the fowls of the air and so forth. The enemy, Satan, at that time already was fallen and used the body of a serpent to talk to Eve. And I told you yesterday, animals in pre-Adamic time used to talk. And remember, Balaam's donkey talked. So animals were able to talk. That's why it didn't surprise Eve when the enemy came, or the serpent using the body of a snake to talk. Now, if a snake talks to you today, you'll run. Or any animal talks, we're gone. But that's why it talks about in Romans that the earth is waiting for the liberations of the sons of God, all creation. Meaning that animals will most likely talk again. I'm not saying they will. I do say that they did, because we know two that did. One snake and one donkey. Anyways, let's keep going. Now, he tempts the woman. Why? In order to take back what he had lost. And he wins, frankly, and not only retakes the planet, but now becomes the prince and part of the air. And he takes back his position, but he's no longer in the third heaven. Now he's only limited to the second heaven, which is in Ephesians chapter 6. So, Lucifer, by his trickery, tempts the woman. Adam and Eve fall. The earth now is again under his control. Now, none of that caught God by surprise. None of this was a surprise to God, because Revelation 13:8 says that Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world, meaning our redemption was complete. Our predestination was complete before God ever created anything, before he created the world, or the angels before that. So there was no Lucifer, there was no Michael, there was no Gabriel, there were no angels when God literally planned and completed your redemption. Think about this. Chad, this is amazing. The first thing God ever did is redeem you and me. Before he ever created anything, he wrote the book of life and wrote every name of every child he wants and said, it's all done. Jesus said, remember, to his disciples, he said, don't rejoice that you have power over demons, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And none of them were saved yet, were they? The cross had not happened in history yet. So, the enemy is still here. He's still the prince and power of the air, and still has a lot of power. So in 1 Peter 5, it says that he's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, we have to resist him, it says, in the faith. That's what I've been talking about. How do you resist someone so powerful to convince a third of all angels that he's a good leader and God is a wicked God? You know, think about the power he possessed, that he still possesses. And convince the whole planet. At that time, it was inhabited by who? The demons of today. Where did demons come from? Okay, that's a big question, but I have the answer. Demons cannot be angels. You want to know why, right? Chad, okay. Number one, angels do not need a body to possess. They have their own. Demons lost their body. Demons are disembodied spirits. Disembodied spirits. No angel ever lost his body. And angels have a spirit body. Demons at one time had a human body, or let's say a mixture of human and animal body. You know, if you read Revelation and you see the locusts coming out of the earth, remember that? Okay? What does the Bible describe them as? They have what? The face of a man, hair of women, teeth of lions. They have wings and tails. They look and their tails look like scorpions. If you read Revelation, the description of demons is a mixture of human and animal. And that was what? Star Wars. Have you ever seen that old movie Star Wars? Yeah. It's a mixture. These demons did that movie. To this day, demons have the mixture of the body of what? Animal and man. That's why they will take either to possess today. They said to Jesus, give us the pigs right down here, since you kicked us out of the one man. So demons cannot be angels. And, you know, I'm not teaching on this today. One day I will. So who are they? If demons aren't angels, who are they? Then they have to be the pre-Adamic race. That's why God said to Adam, replenish the earth. He didn't say plenish. He said re, meaning refill it. He said the same thing to Noah, replenish, which means there were people or a race that was here before that. There are billions and billions of demons, even to this day, running around everywhere. Where did they come from? All right, now. So, we are the church, and the Lord Jesus came to earth to invade and retake the planet from the enemy. And the invasion began when Jesus came to the earth, because he said, if I by the finger of God cast out demons, then the kingdom has come unto you. So that's when the invasion, that's when God began to retake the planet. Now, in Revelation 11, it says, one of these days, Satan will be cast out of the heavenlies, on the earth. He'll know his time is short. And then it declares, the kingdom of our God and of his Christ is his forever. And we, the church, will be participating in the defeat of Satan. Because in Revelation 12, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, meaning the church. Now, what do we do in the meantime? Well, we live victorious lives. How? By walking the word of God. God gave us everything we need to have victory right now, today. So the Bible says in James 4, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. How? Okay, number one, size him up. Size him up means, who is he? Well, number one, he's quite powerful. Anyone who can call fire from heaven in Job 1, anyone who can create tornadoes in Job 1, anyone who can take Jesus and transport him to the pinnacle of the temple from Jericho, anyone who can transport the Son of God to a high mountain, show him the kingdoms of the world, has power. Quite simple. So we are not fighting a weak enemy. So any preacher or anyone who says the devil has no teeth doesn't know what they're talking about. The devil in Jude, I shared this with you, but I'm going to tell you again because in case you missed it. In Jude verse 8 and verse 9, it says that there are filthy dreamers, talking about preachers, who speak evil of dignities or dignitaries. Even Michael the archangel did not dare to bring an accusation against the devil, Satan, when they were disputing the body of Moses. Why? Because God has given, listen. God has given the enemy the authority and the office. And then later, of course, he took it back from Adam. And the Lord Jesus did not argue with him when the devil said, all this is mine, it's been given to me. Now, yes, we have power over him because Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And this is what I've been talking about the whole time since Monday. But you have to do it biblically. You cannot resist the enemy just by saying, I rebuke you. What power do you have? See? Now, if you're living the word, if you're living as a true Christian should live, one who is anointed by the Holy Spirit, the devil recognizes that. Like the demon said, you know what? Jesus I know and Paul I know. Who are you? So, you have to understand who we are fighting. And now, here's what we all have to know. So, and I gave you yesterday the purpose of temptations, the purpose of these attacks. What are they? Number one, they strengthen our faith. James 1:2-4. Number two, they purify our character. In Job 23:10, it says so. Okay? Now, and number three, we mature. We begin to mature for God's approval. We begin to receive God's approval. That's James 1:2. Now, how do we resist? Okay, let's begin. Number one, we take a positive attitude. You have to believe that God uses temptations for our good. We cannot resist the devil till we understand everything that happens on earth happens for my good. So, the light afflictions, let's look at 2 Corinthians, okay? 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now keep listening. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now pay attention, this is powerful. When the enemy attacks me, it causes me to do two things. Number one, it causes me to take a positive attitude to say, I won't let him win. Number two, it causes me to look heavenward. Every time Satan has ever attacked me, it caused me to call on the Lord. So the devil would not be too smart to keep attacking us. Because the more he attacks us, the more we get close to Jesus. So it says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Meaning we don't look at the attacks. We don't look at the afflictions that work for us a great weight of glory. So, number one, verse 17 says, you stand strong. You take a positive attitude. Why? Because I know now that this is for my good. This will work for a weight of glory to come on my life. So, I'm not going to worry about it. And secondly, it causes me to see the invisible. When I realize that every time the enemy attacks me, it causes me to look heavenward. Then attacks are actually good. You know, yesterday I was telling you about a book that I'm going to talk to you about by Paul Bilheimer, who wrote, Why is there a devil? Why is there a devil? There's only a devil for one reason, to train the church for war and for victory. So we can be overcomers. How can you overcome without an enemy attacking you? So God has a purpose. Why he and in the book he talks about why God allowed the devil to remain on earth. For one reason, to train the church to be overcomers. It's a great book, by the way. Great book. So, first of all, and I just gave it to you, that attacks come, and this is how we resist. We resist by knowing the word of God, by faith. Peter said, we resist by faith. But when we resist by faith, what are we doing? We have got to understand that when we resist by faith, here's what it says. I'm reading 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, that's what the word, by the way, devil means, adversary, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. So, how do I resist in the faith? I resist in the faith by knowing the word of God and knowing that this is just a part of the Christian life. So I take a positive attitude and say, you know what? This is going to make me stronger. So come on, let's do it. Do your worst. I'm ready. Because I have the word and I can resist him and he'll flee. How? By speaking the word, saying Jesus' name. Here's what the Bible says. That's it. Number two. And remember, it causes me to look heavenward. Number two. We have to recognize the attack. Most people don't recognize the attack. How? That means I am alert at all times, constantly. That's why I tell people, apply the blood daily. The day you don't apply the blood is the day you give the devil the chance to attack you again. Look, Hagen used to say, Kenneth Hagen used to say, the devil cannot cross the bloodline, okay? He cannot cross the bloodline. Why are people attacked mentally? They don't apply the blood. Why are they attacked when it comes to home and family? They don't apply the blood. The day we forget to apply the blood is the day we lose. Exodus 12:23 says, he will not come in to smite you. The enemy will not walk in to attack you. When I see the blood, I won't let him. So the Lord said to his disciples, back to my second, thing that you have to do. Besides taking a positive attitude, stay alert. The Lord said to his drowsy disciples, he said, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. That's Matthew 26:41. So, let me ask you a question. How would you feel, or how would you behave if you knew that in the bush was a prowling lion ready to attack you? What would you do? Okay? Well, in that situation, Peter gives us the answer. He says, be alert, be sober, be vigilant, because there's a lion in the bush waiting to attack you. So what would you and I do if we had a lion somewhere and we knew there's a lion in the bush? I'll never forget going on a safari years ago in Africa. And we wanted to see lions. And here I'm sitting on this Jeep deal with no top. And Ralph Wilkerson, Eileen, Ron House, his dear wife, Jean Polino, and some of my staff were in two Jeeps. And we come and there's lions. You talk about being alert. Woo, was I alert. A massive male lion walks over, comes to our like a Jeep. He starts pulling at the tire behind my head. You talk about alert. I was very alert. We were all, and the man said, don't breathe, don't move. Because if you move, you're gone. Ha ha! Boy, that taught me a spiritual lesson. And that man who knew where the lions were, he said, lions, and we said, where? Because they hide so well in the bush. He saw them before we did. And when we came, 23 of them were all laying around having a nice nap. And a big male lion stands up and walks around and starts to do this to the wheel behind us. Boy, I tell you, those lines are nothing in comparison to the devil. He's a way bigger line than those boys and much more dangerous. Because to them, our Jeep looked like a rock. They couldn't tell who was, you know, because to lions, when they see a car, it looks like a rock, they said. And only if something moves, they take action. So be careful, be alert, it says. Jesus said so. So, and this is why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. Okay, so often the enemy will disguise his attack. Just like those lions, you know, they were we couldn't even tell what they were going to do. He'll disguise his attack. He'll come from, you know, another way. He'll use somebody sweet and nice and kind. He may even use family. So that's where you need to trust the Holy Spirit. All right, now, number three. Do not go into the territory where the devil is loose. Stay in your own territory. If you want to resist, you got to resist properly, okay? So I told you first, stand your ground. Know it's the best thing you can do is you're in the Word, you're ready, okay? Number two, be alert. That's how you resist. And number three, don't go to the wrong territory. Don't walk into where the temptations are strong, like into bars or theaters or where the devils are loose. Don't court temptation. Don't walk into danger. Don't give in to the sinful nature. Because when you step in, he'll get you. Remember, it says he's roaring. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. So if you are in his territory, he's not going to seek. You're seeking. There's a big difference. If I'm in my territory, safe from him, he cannot get there. He's going to come looking. If I'm in his territory, he doesn't have to look. He's there. So it says in Scripture, in Romans 13, this is very important, and verse 14, the last section of verse 14, it says, well, let me just read the whole thing. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. Well, how can you resist an enemy if you're watching what he's doing? How can people resist if they're watching filthy movies? How can you resist if you're watching some things on TV that are not supposed, you're not supposed, you know, to be looking at? Or looking at movies or videos or reading books or magazines? How can you resist when the devil is all around you? So, get away from his territory. Walk away from his, and don't have anything to do with it. You see, the world will provide you with plenty of doors. You have to say no. So don't go into danger. The sinful nature then must be crucified, right? Okay. So, and then one more thing and I'm done. Submit and surrender to the Lord daily. Daily. You cannot resist if you're not in the presence of God. James 4:7 says, resist, but you cannot resist till you submit. Submit, therefore, to God, then resist the devil. How do I submit? By spending time with the Lord. Because I have to submit to God, and I can't submit to God without prayer and fellowship. So how do I resist? When I stay on my knees. When I'm into the Word, that's how I'm resisting, because I'm praying. As long, you know what? When I spend time with the Lord, I am in such peace. Now, no devil will even dare to come near me, because they know they won't win. Resistance is from within, not without. May I say it again? Resistance is from within, meaning, peace, peace, wonderful peace. When the presence of Jesus is there, he'll do the resisting. I don't even have to do it. So it's not from without, it's from within. So I submit to the Lord. Now the Lord is all over me. Now his power is all over me, and no devil can get near me. I am resisting by resting. Ah, yay, he got that one. I'm resisting by resting. Because it says, submit to the Lord, resist the devil, he'll flee. So when you're submitting, you are in the presence of God. You're in the hiding place, basically. You're in Psalm 91, you know. When you're in that hiding place, what devil is going to dare come near you? Even Satan. No way, Jose, as they say. It's not going to happen. Okay. So, our fight is a fight of faith. We are in the presence of God. And that's how we resist and win every day. Every single day. I'm going to pray with you now. The greatest secret I've learned in my lifetime is when I'm in the presence of the Lord, like this morning, when I'm in the presence of the Lord, no enemy can come near me. I don't even have to say I rebuke you, because the power of God rebukes him for me. I asked David Duplessis years ago, I said, how do we rebuke the devil? He said, God will do that for you if you're in him. Just be in Jesus and he'll do it for you. You are my hiding place. Remember that? You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I'm afraid, I trust you, Lord. Listen, you are my hiding place. Yeah. And that hiding place is the greatest place of resistance. Tomorrow I'm going to teach on embrace the cross. Oh, malba kol al metro me. When you embrace the cross, who can get near you? Who can come near you? No one. No devil, no enemy can touch you. Lord, in the name that's above every name, Jesus. Sweet, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. In his name, Lord, I pray for every one of my partners right now. Bless them, empower them, fill them afresh with the Holy Spirit. Quicken their mortal body, Lord, right now. Give them that mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Let them know your word and walk in depth. Thank you, Lord. Let your word fill each one of them richly, as your word declares, richly. In Jesus' name, now meet every need. I rebuke sickness and disease and bondage goes. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, also meet financial needs today. Those who are looking for work, bless them with a job better than they had. Those looking for a miracle financially, grant it, Lord, for you said you said in your word, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. Receive begging for bread. Touch your people today and bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Now, before you leave, don't leave me yet. I want to ask you to give to the Lord the work. Because when you give, you activate the harvest. When you give, you release the harvest. Like any farmer, when they sow seed, they just release, they activate, they trigger the harvest. And what triggers the harvest is seed. That's why in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6 says, sow your seed in the morning and in the evening, because you don't know which seed will trigger the harvest. So do it right now. God will take care of you. The future of the world is not good. The future of this nation is not good unless God heals it. I was watching last night with Suzanne and Chad the debate with Trump and Biden. That was chaotic. That was not only chaotic, it was draining. Like our energy was drained. Listening to those two men insult each other, and I was I could not believe I was actually seeing that. No decency anymore, no respect for humanity or each other, or even the office of a president, to be called a liar and a clown, and that was a shock. So the future of this country, we need to pray for America more than ever. But I'm going to tell you, you sweet saints who live in this country, if you obey the Lord, if you live in His presence, if you sow seed into His work, you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. But if you don't, there's a lot to worry about. That's why I'm telling you now, begin to live the Christian life and be a giver from now on by giving to the Lord's work. Do not invest in the world. This thing is falling apart down here. Invest in the kingdom of God and watch how God will take care of you, as He took care of Elijah and the prophets and the saints of old and throughout the centuries.